Do you know that there is a temple in Singapore where ghost marriages still occur?
What?
Why? If the wife dies, yeah. Will you kill the datu? No. Of no. course not.
No, of right? course not.
Does she have a secret ghost husband?
No! Necrogamy. And it exists. It's in France.
France?
In her dream, her son said, "Mom, I met someone here in the afterlife, and I want to marry her."
She was to be his love of his life.
I'm scared.
So
I'm scared.
And then they hear scream, thud, 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 and then hang up. This always ends in murder.
Gods Must Be Crazy podcast.
I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. The Gods Must Be Crazy is a podcast on Philippine and mythology and folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Most times. No, but when we see, you know, interesting, like, stories and myths featured from, like, other cultures, we do want to mm-hmm. feature them sometimes. So, mm-hmm. as kind of like a fitting way to, like,
bookend
the walang kamatayang season.
Spooky season.
Or the, what do we call it again? Never-ending?
Never-ending.
Walang kamatayan means it never ends, right? Mm-hmm, or it's endless. Mm-hmm. What I want to talk about is marriage that lives on after death.
Ooh!
And I want to talk
about... I think I know what you're talking about.
The practice of ghost marriage.
I knew it!
Because
this is such a weird practice.
It is so strange.
Yeah.
And it's practiced in so many mm-hmm. more places than I thought.
Oh, really? I thought it was just like China or something.
No, not just China. Jesus. Although it is a very predominant practice in China. And mm-hmm. a lot of the current instances where it still happens are from either, you know, it happens either in China or in Chinese diaspora mm-hmm. places like Malaysia,
Vietnam,
and Singapore.
What?
Do you know that there is a temple in Singapore where ghost marriages still occur?
What?
It's in Tanjung Pagar.
What?
Okay, so we'll get to that.
Grace! Grace, stay away from the temple.
So I want to talk about ghost marriages.
What?
And let's start first with the whole Chinese tradition or the Chinese practice of the ghost marriages, right? So, the first record of ghost marriage goes all the way, way, way back to the Xin Dynasty.
Okay.
So, that's around 200-ish BC mm-hmm. or BCE, mm-hmm. right? Although, there's a lot more detail about it in the Han Dynasty, which is mm-hmm. like right after.
Okay.
Right? So, the core of it is basically, if a young man or woman dies young and unmarried,
okay. Like, right? How young? Like, baby?
So, these days, uh-huh. in the areas that still practice it, they use 18 as kind of a cap. So, if you die before the age of 18,
okay.
without having married, then they, in some instances, they do it for you.
Okay.
So, the core of the tradition is, if a man or woman dies young and unmarried, they believe they still need to travel in the afterlife with mm-hmm. a spouse to protect both the name of their living family and guarantee company for the deceased in the next world. Because remember, this is the tradition that burns effigies things that you will need in the afterlife. So mm-hmm. for those who aren't familiar, although I'm sure you've heard of it, like in a lot of the Chinese Buddhist traditions, right? They burn paper money. They sometimes create paper mansions for very rich families.
Paper cars, paper iPhones.
Paper.
Bitcoin.
Louis Vuitton bags mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's a huge industry in Singapore, for example.
And the Philippines too.
There are big businesses where they really just focus on creating those.
Do you remember
effigies?
That movie Crying Ladies with Sharon Cuneta? She worked in a store. She was the tendera in the store that sold those paper effigies.
So that's the principle, right? Because I guess you can only go so far in terms of what the effigy can represent.
Yeah.
You know, it, a living spouse is a different thing.
Yeah.
So, instead of...
Is a spouse an alive person?
No, so...
Okay.
The practice was... The very traditional common practice is two dead, unmarried corpses...
Are matched up.
Are matched. And there are ghost matchmakers. Because they still have to follow the feng shui traditions, check the astronomical
the signs,
are they compatible, and all of those things.
Are they like of the same age, or so, one has died a long time ago? Or?
So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So the most common form of the ghost marriage was to wed a dead man to a dead woman, whether or not they'd previously been engaged.
Okay.
Right? And even though... purportedly, so the on paper reason for it is, you know, oh, we want to make sure that, you know, they're accompanied in the afterlife, they have everything they need, including a spouse. The real reason is they believe that, according to legend, if someone passed away and was not given a proper ghost wedding, he or she would haunt the family home until
that's
such
the real
an
reason.
Arrangement was made.
That's the real reason.
And in fact, obviously, why else would this matter? Right?
Yeah.
They said that, so they would attribute bad luck to younger generations. So, for example, younger generations were at risk for downfall or misfortune or even, like, have a hard time having kids in the future.
Wow.
Because, like, oh, the spirit of my younger brother who was unwed is unhappy, so...
I can't have any kids.
Exactly.
I do have a sibling.
So, it's like a grudge type.
I do have a younger... My mom was pregnant and she had a miscarriage, a late miscarriage, like 6 or 7 months after me. So maybe that's why I had a hard time having a baby.
Yeah, you didn't give her...
I didn't give the baby, my baby sister, a marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's not just really for the sake of the departed, but also for the fortune
remaining
of
family.
The living members.
Okay.
But sometimes a marriage... can be with a dead person or an alive person.
That's the one I heard of, that it's with an alive person.
And we'll delve into that a bit later. So if the male spouse dies young, his fiance, so let's say they're already engaged.
Okay.
His fiance can decide to go through the wedding anyway with another person standing in for him during the ceremony.
Like a proxy.
Yeah, and she will basically marry into the family still.
Okay.
And a lot of families did this to ensure the future of the woman, basically.
Yeah, because the woman won't have a... Like, if she was previously engaged, it'll be hard to her to get married in another family.
But even more importantly, right? Especially, I think, in some rural provinces, if a woman was to die young and unwed, she could not be given a proper funeral or spirit tablet. Because only her husband's family can do that for her. So her family can't do that for her. So that's why it's like a dishonor to like not be able to get married. Because there's no way we can protect your spirit.
Jesus. It was tough to
be
a single Chinese woman.
The misogyny extends into the afterlife.
Oh my gosh.
So
but what if the afterlife was like... We don't know what the afterlife is. But what if the afterlife was actually like Barbie Land? And then all the women are happy and equal.
So the most common one is two like dead
people
getting married. The second one is, you know, a woman could go through and marry into the family if her fiance, for example,
had died
previously. There's another instance where a living man can also go through a ghost marriage if his wife, if his bride prematurely dies, but his marital status has no impact on whether he could be properly buried. He will be properly buried anyway.
Fine, because it's the male's family.
Yeah.
But why then the only incentive for the male
would be the afterlife and the superstition
thing.
So the point here is that there's an additional practical benefit to a woman. Whether or not she was alive. So if she was living, it obviously guarantees life and protection for her.
And then eventually when she dies.
So, you know.
Sucks.
Wow.
So what were you reading before that made you come into...
I don't even remember. It just happened.
It just like hooked you.
It just hooked me. Let's go to the other cultures.
Sige.
So it's not just a practice in ancient China.
Okay.
Right? Before we...
Will you talk about like what the ceremony is like?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
So, it also is a practice in some provinces of India.
Oh, okay.
So, in a few coastal communities in the Karnataka and Kerala states,
yes,
they still practice this kind of ghost marriage
Kerala
ceremony,
which they call God's own country.
Yeah. So, the practice is called Pret... I'm sorry in advance. So, this is just a blanket disclaimer that I will likely mispronounce many Chinese and Indian terms that will come today. I'm sorry. It's not my native tongue. But it's... Pretha Kalyanam is marriage of the dead. So, okay, it's still traditionally practiced.
Try to do a reflexive R when you do the T. Pretha.
Pretha. Pretha Kalyanam. Okay. I try my best. So, it's a marriage ceremony conducted between the bride and groom who died as babies or teenagers under the age of 18. So, this 18 is the one also where there's a specific kind of ballpark age. And when they interviewed the bride's mom, they were like, oh, why are you doing this? They said, oh, we're marrying off our eldest son soon. But before we do that, we wanted to make sure our deceased daughter got married so that she will be happy and bless the family going forward. So it's a very similar approach. So according to the local cultural beliefs, when restless spirits are denied the social and emotional fulfillment of marriage, they can bring bad luck to the families they leave behind, especially for unmarried family members or those who have trouble conceiving after marriage.
So same.
And, you know, in general, it's just like the spirits may end up holding grudges and become malevolent. So they want to kind of prevent that and just keep the spirits happy.
Yeah.
Basically. So here's, you know, how they do it. So there are clothes, dolls, or effigies that represent the deceased couple, right? And they're used in the ceremony, which otherwise resembles ordinary Indian weddings. So they do the full Saptapadi, which is the 7-step Hindu marriage ritual.
Yeah.
It's just that they do it with effigies. In one of the other stories, let's say it's a poorer family, they just do it with like swaddles of cloth to represent the two.
Do they also henna the little dog?
I don't know na.
Oh, and make them wear all the gold.
Yeah, so the weddings are fixed through the advice of priests and astrologers who arrange the matches between the deceased children. So there became like an underground kind
economy
of ghost matchmaker, for example. So let's say you're a parent. Mm-hmm. I need you to find a bride for my deceased son.
Does it have to be like a born child or what about like...
Both. Neonatal and child death. So, in 2017, so as late as 2017, there were like records of at least 2 ghost marriages that were held in those states.
Wow.
And there were like one of them even garnered heavy media scrutiny. So the deceased couple, there were effigies made of wood and hay. And their ceremony was completed under a tree. So it's kind of like symbolic of a wedding hall.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Maybe, it's macabre. But like maybe it's kind of nice too. Because it's kind of like a part of the process of grieving.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe a funeral isn't enough. Maybe it's kind of like letting go type
there's
of thing.
The intention is nice, which is... So if you don't count the superstitious part of it, it's like...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a lot of the burial practices are really, and even the memorial practices are really, how can you continue to care for your family members after death?
What did Vision say? What is grief but love persisting?
That's true.
Aww. Okay.
Although, literally, they just pick.
I know.
Ultimate arranged marriage. You can't even.
Again, for me, I'm not completely opposed to arranged marriages. Like I know a lot of people who the parameters of an arranged, not forced. When I say arranged marriage, it means like we set you up. If you hit it off, you can get married, or if you don't hit it off, you can say no. Mm-hmm. Right? That's in my head the premise of an arranged marriage.
Uh-huh.
So many people I've heard of who are Indian and had arranged marriages. Like when they met the person and they got along, and like 1 or 2 years down the line, they have sex and they have a baby, they really get along.
Yeah.
And the divorce rates are much lower and everything.
It's really hard to judge if you have not grown up in the context of that culture, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just another way to meet someone.
Yeah. And I was telling Brian, because, you know, he has friends who've had arranged marriages and they are, like, really hitting it off. And I told Brian, how different is it from, like, how he and I got together? We answered questionnaires.
Yeah.
There
was a pre-screening. Other people are doing the pre-screening for you.
Exactly, exactly.
And a lot of times, anyway, the criteria ends up being similar criteria to real life, where
exactly.
Are they people that are of a similar background to you? Because in a lot of cases, that does help with better compatibility and stuff like that.
Similar values.
And according
similar
to...
Similar financial situations.
Yeah, and according to some of my Indian friends, they do still have more of a say now like than before. It's not like an absolute, okay, this is the person. Like, it's really just, here is a list of candidates and meet up with them and then decide if that's what's
gonna happen. Former coworker, I don't know if you met him, but Anoop, who's Jill's boss.
No.
He was from Kerala. Mm-hmm. So he met like 11 or 12 girls.
Uh-huh.
11 or 12 girls. Before he finally...
That's very normal.
Yeah. And the lady he finally chose, she had met like 7 guys.
Did you watch Indian Matchmaker?
Is that the film with like Lily?
No, it's the Netflix reality show.
Oh, no, not yet. But I heard it's fun.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of Indians don't vibe with it well. I guess obviously it's reality TV.
Yeah.
So it would represent a very extreme or niche part.
Like
of
a voyeuristic
really
type of part of it. Yeah.
But I found it interesting.
Yeah.
Because you get to see, like, you know, what the families think, how they discuss those kinds of things.
Yeah. And in the Philippines, Chinese-Filipino communities, they're still kaishao. They're still...
Yeah, for sure.
They're still arranged meeting up.
Arranged meetup. Yeah. Okay. So it existed today, but it's a very, very, like, rare practice now, right? Now, one of the, like, especially the younger generation, they feel like, you know, it's just superstition, so they don't need to practice it anymore. So, obviously, as the generations progress, they're, like, leaving some of the practice behind. But I think this is fair. One of the cousins of the bride in this particular story, she said that, you know, a large part of it is there's been an improvement in healthcare, right? If part of it is the superstition behind, sorry, not even superstition, like there's less neonatal deaths, neonatal mortality, child mortality has also decreased, right? So because of that, there's less of a need to practice it.
The industry is dying.
So whereas before, they would have these ghost marriages, like really like a normal marriage.
I would love to see a comic like this, like a dating comic.
I know. That they would invite their whole village and whatnot. Now it's just very intimate. It's really just the immediate family, right? Because it's not as widespread anymore. So, before we go to the dark side.
There's a dark side.
The
dark
side.
Of course there's a dark
of
side.
It. I want to talk about like where else it exists, right? Where else can you get married posthumously?
Vegas.
And there's actually a term for getting married to someone who's dead. So monogamy is, you know, a single one-to-one marriage relationship. Polygamy and bigamy is like getting married to two or multiple partners. This one is called necrogamy. And it exists. It's legal. So first of all, in India, it's illegal. In China, it's illegal. So those two examples where I mentioned it, it's not like you can get imprisoned necessarily, but it's not legally recognized.
Yeah, yeah.
In France.
France?
It's legally recognized.
What?
In World War I.
Huh?
So there was a specific instance where they allowed it. So in World War I, they started to allow it so that women could wed their fiancés.
Who had died in the war.
Who had died in the war to legitimize children.
Okay.
And there was an instance in 1950. So it was made officially legal in 1950 when there was the Malpasset Dam broke.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman, she was a pregnant woman, and her fiancé died in the dam accident. So she petitioned the president to let her marry her husband. And so they had a national assembly, and then they approved it.
Okay.
So you can do it in France, but there's a very rigorous application process. And it's really just to legitimize your child and protect, give you protection. So Yes, in France it exists.
Wow.
Which I never thought like it would be in the list of places.
So this is my question. Mm. If I was a lady, yeah, and I married a fiancé of mine who was dead, and I wanted to get married again, like I met a new guy,
divorce him.
Would I have to? I'd have to have a ghost divorce.
I don't.
I can't.
That.
Like, so
I did
I'm
not probe that far.
I won't be a widow because he didn't die after he got
That's
married.
That's true.
I'm not a widow. I'm still married to my ghost husband, so I have to have a ghost divorce.
You have to get a special ghost attorney.
A ghost attorney? A ghost divorce attorney?
Now, there's one other tribe.
Okay.
Where they also practice it. And based on this example, I'm sure it also exists elsewhere. It's probably just not recorded. Or it existed before and it's not recorded. But in Sudan, there's a tribe called the Nuer. Mm-hmm. And the brother of the groom can replace a dead fiancé.
Okay.
In the wedding ceremony. But he would also have to fulfill the marital duties.
That's like in the Bible, right?
Yeah. But his kids are not his.
What?
So, Brother A, let's call him Adam.
Yeah.
Brother B, let's call him John.
Okay.
Right? And then
I'm engaged to Adam.
Yeah, you're engaged to Adam, right?
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's an accident and Adam dies, right?
Am I pregnant or not pregnant?
You're not pregnant.
Not pregnant. Okay.
Now, the family of Adam owes you to honor the marriage.
Yes.
And they have another person who can take his place. Now, in a lot of cases, like, you just become married to John and you're John's wife.
Okay.
In this case, you become married to John, but you're Adam's wife.
Okay.
So, John is legally required to have sex with you and produce babies, consummate the marriage. Mm-hmm. Your baby is Adam's child.
But what if I've fallen in love with John?
Well, you can love him, but your child is Adam's child.
Because my Lola is... this exactly happened to my Lola.
Yeah, I remember.
My Lola's husband, first husband, I don't know his first name. His surname is Baha.
Uh-huh.
And he was married to my Aunt Irene, who is the oldest sister of my Lola. And then they were married. They never had kids. She dies, so he marries my Lola, Clara, who's the, I guess, second sister. And then they have two kids. They have the two kids. And then he dies, and then she marries my grandfather, finally. Incidentally, her youngest sister was also named Irene. The oldest and the youngest sister were both named
That's
Irene.
So weird.
But then does that mean... that her...
Well, they're not part of the Nuer tribe.
That's true. Thank God. That would have been so confusing. Sorry, cousins. Some of my cousins listen to these podcasts.
Oh, hi, Adam's
Timmy.
Cousins.
Hi, Timmy. Hi, Hope. So, see, it's confusing. Family history. Oh, my God.
So, anyway, where would you go today if you were to, you know, conduct a ghost marriage? Let's say you're in Singapore, where we are.
Chong Bahru.
Tanjung
Pagar.
So there's this place, it's called the Sengwongbyo Temple. Sengwongbyo. It's also called the Ducheng Hwang Gumiao Temple.
It sounds Korean.
No, I'm just not pronouncing it well. Ducheng Hwang Gumiao. Anyway.
Okay.
It's in the middle of Tanjung Pagar, and it's one of the oldest temples in Singapore. So, in fact, it was established in 1905.
We should post a picture of it.
Yeah. I'll show you the picture. Is it here? I'll show you later.
Okay.
It's one of the oldest temples here. It was established in 1905, and it's dedicated to Wei Ling Gong, who is a highly ranked city god.
A city god?
In
I know
Chinese
someone named
culture.
Wei Ling Gong.
Yeah. So, city gods are believed to protect the people and the affairs of a particular village or town or city.
I like it.
And even the afterlife location of that
city. Oh, wow. The city has an afterlife location.
Okay, so it's a
fancy... Is it like a carbon copy of the same city?
I think so. That's I don't know. Funny. But the Chinese do believe that, you know, the afterlife is, you know, it also has its bureaucracies. There's
like, I believe it.
Inner city.
Like, you know, like a good omens, right?
So there's a lot of other like significant idols who are in that temple. But... in particular, so this temple, it's on Peksia Street.
Peksia.
Seya.
Seya.
Don't they pronounce it Seya? Seya? Anyway.
I have no idea.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Sorry, Singaporean
coworkers. So in this temple, there's a main temple hall known as the Hall of the Gods.
Okay.
There's, within that, there's an inner temple. And behind that, there's a hall called the Ryu Hall. Ryu Hall. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, that's where you can find ancestral spirit tablets, ritual objects that, you know, symbolize a continuation of family bloodlines, protects the descendants from danger and harm. So, kind of like the temple where Mulan...
Oh, where her dad was praying to the ancestors. Yeah, okay, okay.
It's also the hall where ghost marriages happen.
Oh!
So, usually what happens is two bereaved families decide, you know, that they're going to marry
their kids.
Or sometimes, you know, a matchmaker is engaged to look for a partner for a deceased family member. And so, when the two parties agree, their souls are brought together in holy matrimony. So, what happens, you ask? So, there's no, like, hotel banquet.
Is there a Rolls Royce? A paper Rolls Royce?
So what happens is, there are paper effigies that represent the bride and groom. So, like, there's, like, full-on dolls that represent the bride and groom.
Can I, like, if I died and I was, like, chubbier, can I be thinner? My paper effigy.
You have to, like, advise your family on that.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the figurines are presented with food and offerings. Mm-hmm. And they're tied with the red thread.
Cute!
And they're... The paper dolls are led through paper gates and bridges.
Okay.
And then they're offered the paper models of the gifts.
Aww.
From the family members. It could be food.
It could be a full Le Creuset set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, all the paper offerings are burned in the, you know,
effigy burning thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The incinerator. But there's also a ring exchange.
A ring.
So the priest slips a ring on the effigy of the groom.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mom will have to ask the bride if she wants to be wedded to him.
Oh.
Before you ask, I don't know what happens if the answer is the opposite. But what they do is there are two blocks. And they toss it in the air. And if both blocks land on yes, the priest will wed the souls.
But what if it's no?
Before you ask, I said, I don't know. Because the article didn't say. And I couldn't
blocks
find it.
Blocks like dice? Or like
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like a yes and no. Like coins, basically.
Like a...
Two blocks.
Yeah.
So if they both land on yes. So the mom of the groom has to ask the effigy bride. You know, will you
because they're sort of like, son? They're kind of like, if the ghosts are here, you have to influence the blocks.
Yeah. And afterwards, the paper bride receives a ring that the mom helps
Is it a paper ring or is it like a gold ring?
I'm not sure. I guess it depends on the family.
Yeah.
Right? Now.
In a Tiffany paper
you
box?
You ask, right?
Oh.
I mean, how would you know the will of the dead? Right?
I don't.
There is a book that became a Netflix series called The Ghost Bride.
Yes. The Ghost Bride. This is so fascinating.
Crazy fascinating.
I know. The wedding industry, man. I mean, not only is it just...
So, it's by Yang Se-Chu.
Mm-hmm.
So, this inspired a book that eventually became a Netflix series. So, it's a best-selling book. It's by Yang Se...
Did you watch it?
Chu. No, but I want to watch it now.
Okay.
And she got the story because her friend said that, my uncle got ghost married to someone. And she's like, how'd that happen? So the mom of the uncle, so her grandmother, had a dream. In her dream, her son said, Mom, I met someone here in the afterlife and I want to marry her. Her name is so-and-so. Her family lives in so-and-so. I forgot if she gave the location of the family, but this is her name and whatever. And so the grandmother was like,
what?
Well, my son wants to get married, whatever, right?
So she looks for the family.
She looks for the family.
And it was a real person? Who's that?
It was a real person. And the parents of the girl said, I had a dream where my daughter said she wants to get married to a person she met in the afterlife. And it's her son.
What?
I actually have goosebumps even though I already know this story.
What?
So they got their kids ghost married. Wow. And that inspired the
book.
The book. Now, the book is a bit more different because it's about like this lady who's from a poor family. So mm-hmm. she agrees to be ghost married into a rich family to help her family. Mm-hmm. And then it's supernatural. So she ends up actually meeting her husband in the afterlife.
So she dies.
No, she gets visited by him and she ends up visiting the afterlife. And, ooh. You know. Hijinks ensue.
Wow.
But it's a best-selling book. It's a really good Netflix series.
I will borrow it from the library.
Yeah, yeah. So
ghost marriage.
So yeah. So,
oh my god, it's so strange.
Before we go into
I like that they found happiness in the afterlife.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It actually there's also a similarly titled Filipino film.
Ooh!
With Kim Chu. It's called The Ghost Bride. It's a very similar premise. So Kim Chu plays this girl from...
Philippines?
Huh?
Do they have ghosts?
It's based on Chinese mythology. Maybe it's a Chinese family tradition. Yeah. I don't know. Because I looked for Philippines. I couldn't find specific practice in the Philippines. So who knows? Maybe if you're a traditional Chinese...
Filipino-Chinese friends, let us know if you've ever heard of a ghost
story. So, yeah, Kim Chu plays that girl who comes from a poor family. So anyway, yeah, so there was a Filipino movie in 2017 with Kim Chu and Matteo Guticelli, I think. And it's a similar premise, but it's more of like a horror kind of action.
Mm-hmm. Horror action.
Representation. So now I want to get into the dark side of this.
Okay.
Of this... practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens when you can't find a match?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when...
I mean, it's hard enough in real life.
Yeah. And actually, in a lot of like the rural areas, so like mining provinces in China, because of the strictness of the one-child policy, there are provinces where there are more men than girls now.
In the entirety of China, there's more men than women.
So, what do you think happened?
They would take wives. Or their women would have multiple husbands.
For ghost marriages.
I don't know. They would make up women.
They would steal bodies.
Ew!
So there have been several grave robbing incidences throughout many, many years.
Ew! But if they already, if they just do effigies, why does it need to be the body?
It doesn't stop at grave robbing.
Oh no.
Some women have been murdered.
So that they can be brides?
Ghost brides.
But doesn't that like double down on the unhappy spirit? God.
So.
Oh my God.
I also did not know that it would end up this way.
Oh my God.
In the story. So this is...
Always ends in murder.
Sadly. So. There was one instance. This was a news article from... If I'm not mistaken, 10 years ago in central China, four men went to prison for digging up and selling corpses in the black market to enable ghost marriages.
God.
Right? So over...
Not for anatomy study.
Yeah. But by the way, they were only sentenced to around 2 years in prison.
Ew!
They stole 10 female corpses. They cleaned them up. They counterfeited their medical records to boost their prices. Make them attractive. And they sold them in the black market for 25,000 pounds.
Each?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so insane.
Yeah. So, you know, why this has happened? We talked about this, right? So, especially in like a lot of like the northern... So, there are so many instances of this happening in a northern province called Shanxi.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new rich coal money. So suddenly, all of these like traditional superstitious families, right? They have more money now.
Yeah.
They can afford better ghost wives for their
ghost sons.
Ghost sons, right? So it's a very superstitious demographic that can suddenly afford high prices. So some were known to purchase corpse brides straight from the hospital, where they cut deals with grieving families.
Oh my God. But again, why do they need the corpse if it was just like a spiritual thing with effigies?
Because...
I guess they do corpse to corpse
wedding. So that's the thing, right? So in a lot of the the practices today, right, where it's, you know, they do it to the matchmaker and whatever, the effigies usually are okay, right? But in the rural provinces, they feel like the effigies are not enough. It's not real. It doesn't represent enough. So they need the actual bones. The actual body. And in some instances, they take the corpse, you know, or the skeletons, and they reinforce it with wire. They dress it up and whatever, and that's the stand-in. And, you know, I respect that it's a practice that you do, like, if you believe really that this will help your, you know, but, yeah, especially when it gets to this, like, really macabre and, like, insane side.
And grave stealing. And also, it like, it's fine for you to carry out your practices in a way that makes you feel at peace with what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But when it encroaches on other people's beliefs and practices,
or even just basic human dignity.
Yeah, but then again, basic human dignity is a moving line, right? I mean, if you pay, if some people might say, oh, they paid us naman, so that should be fine. But like,
the family is quote unquote okay
naman. Yeah, if they're okay naman to say, you know, it's kind of like people selling their kidneys, right? Is that wrong? Is that they you know? I mean, it's a conversation on, it's a conversation on need and desperation, right? And so people who send the advice. But the robbing of graves.
Yeah. The murder.
The murder, of course. Number one, of course, is murder. But the murder and then the robbing of graves. Because you think that your needs exceed that of like another person's right to
live. And the thing is, right, some families don't even know, they get duped. Right.
Oh, because these guys, it's like the Birkenhead guys.
They fake the medical records.
Yeah, they just pretend that they died accidentally. A family approaching a family.
Like, let's say your daughter's dying, she's in the hospital, someone approaches you, can like I marry that person to my son after? Like, and obviously you're in desperate need, so
yeah. Probably like, oh, I need money to pay the hospital. Yeah. God, so effed up.
Yeah, sorry, what were you gonna say?
So there's this guy in the 20s, turn of the century, German guy, went to Florida, and he was a radiologist, and he was an older guy, like let's say 50s, 60s, and he met this lady who was dying of tuberculosis. It was a younger, like Cuban lady, her named Helena something. And she was beautiful, but of course, dying. She had like the TB pallor and stuff. And so he said he had seen her face in a dream before, and it was revealed that she was to be his love of his life.
I'm scared.
So he was in love with her and tried to seduce her and fall, but she didn't like him. Eventually, she dies. He pays to have build a mausoleum.
Oh no.
And then his mausoleum, he had two keys. Only he and the family had a key. And he had a telephone.
Where is this going?
He had a telephone in the mausoleum. He reinforced her body with wire and wax and things. He eventually brought the body to his home, and people would see him dancing with the corpse. And if he had it in bed next to him, but there was like a curtain to give her privacy. And eventually a boy, and he would buy perfume and jewelry and things like this. And people would be like, but what is he using it for? And finally a boy was going to his door to either sell something or deliver his paper or something. And then he saw that he was like, he's like dancing with a mannequin or whatever. But it was like weird.
It's very Death Becomes Her.
It was very Death Becomes Her, but the person is dead. And then so he's like, yeah. Well, that's true.
Inanimate,
yes. So he tells people, and then the sister of the woman who knew him because he was a creepy guy before she died.
They didn't know that he was doing that.
They didn't know that she took her body out of the mausoleum.
Oh, no.
So he went, and so the sister came to confront him in his home, and then she saw the body. And of course, it doesn't even look like a person anymore.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like a weird sculpture, but it still looked kind of like her sister. So say they went to court and everything, and then he said no, he was just preserving it, blah blah blah. But the clincher was he had put PG warning here. He had put like a paper tube in her private lady parts so that he could have sex with it. So that was like sort of the clincher that sent him to prison. Because he was having sex. He was defiling the body. Like, defiling the body. So he goes to prison, right?
Oh my God.
He goes to prison. They inter the body again. Blah, blah, blah. He gets out of prison.
He only gets a few, he gets a key. Stop! He still has the key!
Yeah. No, no, no. He builds an effigy. Another one.
Oh, no.
He builds another one for her. And then he eventually dies with her in... He dies in his bed eventually. He's an old guy, right? With an effigy next to him. But then people say that it was still her body. Like, he somehow figured out how to get her body again.
What is wrong with him?
And there was, like, these other things. Like, he had built, a plane. Like, he built, like, his own airplane to, like, put her body in and fly it. And then he would get irradiated by the sun. Tapos, it would bring her back to life.
It's like, I don't know if it's love.
And then he had a telephone. He had a telephone in the mausoleum and he would call. And then he would sing love songs to her. But the thing is...
But wait, even if
she didn't like him, she thought he was a creep.
Wait, even if he had a telephone in the mausoleum...
Who would pick it up?
Yeah. How could anyone answer?
I know, I don't
know. He would just ring and he would just like talk to the ringtone.
I guess. Or maybe there's an answering machine.
Oh my God.
It was the turn of the century. I don't know what technology they had.
It's so bad. Didn't they still have switchboards then?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe it's a direct line. But yeah. So that was this guy.
Jeez Louise.
I know. Thinking of ghost brides. So gross. It went to a gross place. Okay. Why does it have to... I was so happy... I was like, this is a nice practice. You know, it's very wholesome. People are grieving.
I know. As I was telling you the story, blah, blah. What's Anima going to feel like when we get to part 2?
This is so gross. So that happened in China like last year, like 22. Yeah.
So in for example, in 2009, a father, so a grieving father also in Shaanxi province, paid a team of grave robbers £2,700 to find a bride for his son who died in a car crash. And they were arrested for exhuming the remains of a teenage girl who had killed herself not long after failing her college entrance exams.
Oof.
So they're really looking for like these, you know, vulnerable ladies.
Yeah. Let her have her peace, guys. Ooh, can I tell you a side story?
Sige.
There's this girl recently and she was like a high school... Like a high school honor student and everything. I think this was in Oregon. She's a high school honor student. And then she got into college. But, you know, she didn't adjust very well to college.
Mm.
And so she essentially flunked out of, like, early on. But she couldn't tell her parents. So she stayed in school for a while in her dorm with her roommate, not telling anyone. Yeah. And then eventually it all got found out. So she got kicked out of the dorm. Uh-huh. The school administrators... told her, you know, she had to leave. But the school administrator said, like, you have to tell your parents. But then she was at home and she would pretend to still be at school. And they had like a family tracking app, like AirTag. So she knew where everyone was on the AirTag or on the phone.
Did the girl know?
The girl knew when her parents would be home and when she would be out. Right? So she would make sure that she was not at the home when her parents would arrive. And she would just like make up that she's still going to school eventually. And then one day, and then eventually the dad was like, he left his phone at work so that he would catch her at home. And he did. He would catch her like at home. And then he said, what's going on? And she said, oh, you know, I'm having a hard time in school.
Okay.
But she didn't say that she was kicked out.
Uh-huh.
And then he was noticing that because the tuition used to be auto-deducted from his account, it wasn't being auto-deducted anymore. He's like, so what's going on? She's like, I'm just having, you know, maybe I'll take some time off from school, blah, blah, blah. But she didn't tell him the whole truth. Then one day, the school calls the mom. And the mom says, they said, oh, can we have a call with you about your daughter? And then she says, okay, I'm on my way home.
Mm.
Let's talk when I'm there. So she gets home. They call her. It's like the school admin and then like the dean of the course. And the daughter is there also at home unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
The mom has it like in speakerphone, and she's like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, Mrs. So and So, we're glad we have you here. Blah blah blah. We just wanted to talk to you about your daughter." And the mom was like, "Oh no, that's perfect. She's right here." And then, yeah, oh, it's good that she's here because we have wanted to talk to you about like, her performance at school. And then they hear scream, thud, 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 and then hang up. And then they call.
I'm so scared.
And then they call back. And then the daughter is pretending to be the mom. And of course, they know what the daughter sounds like. They've talked to her multiple times. She's like, oh, no, you know, oh, it's no, okay, no, blah, 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 blah. Hang up. So the school is worried. Mm-hmm. They call the police and they say,
shit,
you need to send people for a wellness check, right? Yeah. So they...
Sorry, where is this again?
In Oregon, in the US. And so when the police find out, so they're like, oh, wellness check. One of the cops who found out about the wellness check is a family friend. So he calls the dad.
Oh, shit.
The dad, he's like, oh, there's a wellness check. Is everything okay in your house? And he's like, yeah, no, my wife and my daughter are there. They should be fine, you know. And then he said, yeah, because they told us to do a wellness check. You know, your wife was on the phone and they were screaming and whatever. And the dad was like, oh, okay, okay, just send the police. The dad calls the daughter. And then she's like, no, no, it's fine. You know, it's mom and I are here. We're just hanging out at home. And then the dad says, well, you know, because the police called and then they said there's a wellness check. And then she says, oh, no. And then she suddenly becomes hysterical. She says, there was a robber. He broke in and he attacked us and he attacked mom and blah, 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 blah. And then
she just said it was okay.
Yeah, she just said it was okay. And then so they hang up and the dad tries to go home. She breaks a window and makes it appear like there was a break-in. Finally, the cops came. She had whacked her mother over the head like multiple times and stabbed her neck over 30 times.
Oh my God.
And then, so it's in court, right? She got arrested and everything. The question is not, did she kill her mom or not? But was she insane? Or what? Did she have like a schizophrenic break when she did it? But the things like, the lying and the pretending they got broken in. Like, she covered it up.
I can't imagine how the dad would feel.
I don't know.
Do you defend your kid?
I don't know.
That's insane.
Right? Mm. So, yeah, that was the whole crazy thing that's happening. Because she couldn't tell her parents
about school.
That she flunked out of school. Right? And by the way, they weren't like a tiger parent. Because there's this other Asian American girl who also did the same thing in Canada.
She just didn't know how to process her shame.
And she had like a dragon parents.
Yeah.
And she killed like her mom and tried to kill her dad. Or like they had to get someone to do it. But this girl, like, they weren't even like stressy parents.
So macabre.
Mm-hmm. We've turned into a ghost murder podcast. Oh my God.
Speaking of
ghost murder,
so another instance of this happening was in 2016, right? So in Northwest China, they charged a man with murdering two women with mental disabilities, alleging that he wanted to sell their corpses in so-called ghost weddings.
We don't know who's charged, the women,
the man.
So
there was a man who murdered two women with mental disabilities. He was planning to sell their bodies for ghost marriages. Apparently, he promised the women that he would find them grooms, but instead he killed them. Because we know how, like, there's so much pressure for women in China to get married. Because they say once you reach a certain age, and I'm not sure if it's 30s or something.
Like 20-something.
You're like...
dried up.
You're on the shelf or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wasn't that like an SK2 campaign or something?
Or like off the shelf. No, on the shelf. Yeah, like, you're shelved. Like, you're not... bankable anymore, you're not attractive anymore, and there's a lot of guilt and shame associated with it. Now, obviously, they're trying to fight against it, you know, and turning the tide, but it's still a deep rooted tradition. So,
especially in rural areas,
these two very vulnerable women,
oh my God,
believe this man who promised to get them grooms. He did not tell them that the marriage is gonna
after you die,
after I kill you and sell your body for my profit.
Gross.
In 2015, there was a report that 14 female corpses were 14? Stolen. It's just really
that's
insane.
A lot.
And the prices are insane. So, like, you know, 10 years ago, the cost would be anywhere from $4,500 to $7,500. They're saying that now it's going for twice to more than twice.
What? That's so crazy.
And, you know, it's not just the vulnerability of you know, the women that they learned, that this is all the vulnerability mm-hmm. of just grieving families who want the best yeah. for their children, right? Yeah. It's not like
I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse if, like, a body of a loved one is stolen, mm. like, without my knowledge, or if a body of a, if or if I received money for mm. it. Like, yeah. either way, it sucks.
And so, this is the one where I was like, when was this? This was very recent. In 2021.
What?
A TikToker. Not the TikToker. So there's a TikTok Weibo. Equivalent app. No. Weibo's like the Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Or X. Ugh. Douyin.
Douyin, yeah.
Which is basically the live streaming app. So there's this very famous live streamer. Mm-hmm. She was a fashion blogger. And she... So trigger warnings for suicide. She took her own life during a live stream.
Okay.
Apparently, like, she took out a bottle of pesticide. She mentioned, like, she talked about, like, suicidal thoughts or suicidal mm. ideation. Mm-hmm. And then her viewers egged her on.
Oh, no!
To take the pesticide.
Damn it!
She died, mm-hmm. right? And her body was cremated
uh-huh.
in, you know, a rural part in Shandong province. But the crematorium staff member stole her ashes and tried to sell it for a ghost marriage.
Yuck. Now,
luckily, it did not push through. So they were able to, the deal fell through and it didn't happen. God. They caught the people who were trying to do it. But mm-hmm. it's insane.
Yeah.
Because she's famous. So he tried to sell it for even higher. So he's yeah. trying to sell it for around like $11,000.
Jesus Christ.
And it's crazy. So, you know, ever since that, obviously, like, there was like a lot of like online discussion about it, and you know, there's a Me Too kind yeah. of movement going there. Like, apparently someone from the, like, one of the Communist Party leaders was caught, like, I think he had an issue with like a tennis player or whatever.
Oh yeah, I heard of this.
Yeah. She was since put, like, that issue and that person has since put under blank censorship. Yeah. So when like conversations started to arise again about this, they also started like
yeah, deleting. It's part of it.
Yeah, because the ghost marriage whatever like started trending again, so they started yeah. censoring it again because it was outlawed by Mao himself.
Yeah.
In 1949.
Wow.
Like, there was a very specific thing as well to, like, outlaw ghost marriages. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even want to talk about it.
Just goes down this messed up track.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
And so now we turn to lighthearted. Since we, got, okay. we went through all of that craziness. There was just this... I was looking kasi for, like... Yun nga, media representations, yeah, right? Yeah. There are movies that talk about the ghost marriage. But there's a weird... practice in Taiwan
uh-huh.
where it's kind of they obviously also still believe in the whole idea of like we need to wed our unmarried like yeah. diseased kids and yeah. whatnot. But what they do instead of finding a matchmaker is they take the red envelope, dangbao,
uh-huh.
they put money
uh-huh.
and they put like the nails and the hair of the deceased.
Ew.
And if you happen to pick it up, you have to marry.
Ew, no!
The person.
That's a trick. That's a trick.
And it's quote-unquote bad luck if you decline.
I'm just not gonna pick up any red envelopes anymore.
So,
in
so,
Taiwan.
Yeah. So that's the...
But what if I was already married?
Yeah. And obviously, like, yeah. you wouldn't. But that's the premise of a Netflix... movie. So a Taiwanese Netflix movie.
What's it called?
It's a queer movie yeah. where this guy, he's a cop mm-hmm. and he accidentally picks up the red envelope, and the mom of the deceased guy like basically tells him, you have to marry my son.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then the ghost of the son helps the guy solve a crime or whatever.
Oh, but
it's really fun. It's a
are
comedy.
They gay, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it's queer.
Oh, I think that's so modern.
I don't think he's gay. So the premise is the lead guy kasi is kind of homophobic.
Okay.
And whatnot. And then he's forced to like work with the corpse. And I guess, aww. I don't know, they fall in love or something.
Aww.
I haven't watched it. So now I have like a list of movies.
A ghost related movies.
They're ghost bride related.
That's a very niche.
And I wanted to end on that high note. given the journey that I took you through.
That's so scary and weird and gross, but also like will help if it's helped. It's like that show iZombie.
Yeah.
Where she turns into a zombie, but she's also like a coroner or something. And she helps solve crimes because when she eats the brains
she can
of the victims.
Memories.
Yeah.
So now you guys have book and movie recommendations. So The Ghost Bride by Yang Si-Chu.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Bride, the series on Netflix, The Ghost Bride.
Mm-hmm.
The Filipino movie with Kim Chu. The full movie is on YouTube.
Okay.
And what's this? Marry My Dead Body. I love the title. Oh my god, that's our title.
Marry My Dead Body. Yeah.
Marry My Dead Body is a Taiwanese queer
comedy. Oh my god, that's so
comedy.
Good. That's so
also
weird.
On Netflix.
Can you think of that pitch? I mean...
Well, it is a practice.
Yeah.
He picked up the red envelope.
Yeah.
I mean, the lead guys are hot, by the way.
I mean, honestly. Okay. If it was Devon Sawa...
I'm going to show
as Casper, I would, like, think twice about marrying a ghost if it was that hot. Did you see these TikToks of, like, little girls? Like, little, like, 8, 7-year-olds watching Casper. And then when Devon Sawa comes, they're, like, super kileng. Like, 8, 7...
Like all of us when we were children.
Like, super young kids.
Marry My Dead Body.
Oh, they're hot.
They're super hot.
They're hot. Is this the ghost with the nice hair?
Yeah.
He's cute. Yeah. Okay,
I'm
going to
watch it later. I'll show you The Ghost Bride.
Okay.
When I watch the trailer, it feels very... It's giving...
Is it giving?
It's kind of like...
Oh, it's giving...
Like, what's it? Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Is that the one with David Bowie?
David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. It's giving that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But Chinese. Yeah.
I love the vibe.
I wonder what the other life looks like.
And this is the Kim Chu one.
It's Kim Chu and Matthew Gattacelli.
Yeah, Mateo.
It's
actually really nice.
Oh, cool. Kim Chu pretty. I like
They have to go, like, perform an exorcism to get rid of her, like, ghost husband. Spoilers.
Yeah.
So
her ghost husband?
Who Aquino. So that's Ghost Marriage.
Okay. I would not like it happen to me.
It's kind of like... It's just so sad how something that's such supposed to be done with, like, good intentions, right?
And love and grief and care.
But if you think about it,
mm-hmm.
we've heard tales of, like, you know, even in, Egyptian burials, right?
Yeah.
They kill the living members of the family.
Yes.
Even in Philippines, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
they would
the servants.
They'd kill the servants,
the spouses. In India, they did it.
Hmm.
They would burn the wife at the same time so that the husband would have a companion. I just find it funny. Like, okay, so it's a moving level of tolerance, right?
Yeah.
So like, I was married, blah blah blah. Maybe I have grief. Maybe I would do it myself, blah blah. Like then, but then I just find it like, oh, babies.
But for me, the root of the practice is grounded on a good intention, right?
Yeah.
But the extent where it starts harming other people, right? I'm really bad at articulating it right now. But it's really just the privilege of, like, the ruling class, right?
Yeah.
Because you would not do that for a wife.
You know
why? If the wife dies, will you kill the dad too?
Of course not. No, of course not.
If a slave dies, will you make any offerings? No. They're going to have to settle with, like, rice and fruits.
If that. I think the thing about it is also because while the intent is good, the perceived or the consequences they're
worthy?
Afraid of. No, like, who has bigger to lose?
Yeah.
It's essentially that. Who has more to lose? Like, that's why the rich are going to all these extremes.
Because they're so scared.
Because they're so scared of losing out, right?
Yeah.
That's why they're... That, the reason why...
They can't imagine living without all of the privileges that they enjoy.
They have a higher pedestal to fall from. Whereas if I was a poor person and it's like, this, I don't have much to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do like the bare minimum offering, whatever.
The generational fear
handed
down to keep people in line.
Yeah.
Even after death.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
And this is greediness. This is materialistic greediness, I think, in the end. It's different from many other forms of Buddhism where there is, you know, attachment. You know, attachment leads to suffering and, you know... prosperity is not about material wealth. Prosperity is about having space in your life for your loved ones, having space in your life. But like the attachment to the physical attainment of riches is like not Buddhist at all because you're attached to, I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my riches.
But like many religions naman, like I think the root of the philosophy might have been sound, but the people in power who
interpret it.
It's like how Catholic priests sold, what do they call it?
Indulgences, plenary indulgences.
Indulgencia.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you can pay to reduce your time in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Like 100 Hail Marys are worth X amount.
Or like a coin of gold.
Yeah, and that's not what the root of the belief is, but it's like people who take advantage of
that. Do you know that there used to be this practice in the Renaissance where they would make these robots? They were like automatons, saints.
Mm-hmm.
So it says that if you like genuflect...
Mm-hmm.
X amount of times it was equivalent to, you know, taking away your sins. So they would make, so the rich people, the kings and queens, would hire like the masters to make these robots of themselves to genuflect a lot of times or do the sign of the cross.
Where's this, sorry?
In like the Middle Ages. It was a clock. It was like a clock.
Ah.
Clock mechanism. You wind it up. Yeah. It was like a big... I saw it in a documentary once. And so like, it looks like there are a couple of like our saints, but some are like princes, some are like dukes. That they like, they want to secure their time in heaven, so they just wind up the clock and make the robot do like all the genuflex and the bowing and the praying and stuff. It's like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creepy.
But I know you talked about it a lot. It could go like really bad places. But I always was so fascinated by all these like lovely offerings. Because in our community here, we have so many. So we live in like a very local neighborhood here. Yeah. So they always have the
burning
the funeral and the funeral, right? Yeah. So we always see them. And then you see, you know, these people like setting aside the houses and the cars and the phones. Yeah. I always found it so nice. Like,
yeah,
it's such a, like the gesture of goodwill and wishing your ancestors and your departed ones well.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just so sad how that gets bastardized.
Into like because an of opportunistic greed. Thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. It's like that lady who's on TikTok, Denise, who's like the receptionist in heaven.
Ah, yeah.
You know, that
whole
thing about like you get taken in and there's like margarita bar and there's like, and then people can send their, you know, their heaven mail and they're like send prayers up and like missing you and then they can come visit anytime. And so I like that vision of bureaucracy, but like in a nice way. Let's stick to that part of it.
That's true.
Not the effed up part of the ghost bride marriage. So, I love that story of like they met someone in the afterlife and then they had their moms.
I know, right?
They had their because I would like, totally do
it's
that.
It's like 50% creepy, but 50% like, oh, you met someone. I'm so glad you're not alone.
You know, my cousin would have that. She would have a dream of her ninang was my aunt who passed away. She would have dreams of her ninang, and there was a time where she was having a hard time conceiving. She eventually adopted a baby, but she had a dream, and she was in a bus, and then her ninang was telling her, "Don't worry, Cheche, you're gonna have your own baby." And she said, "No, yeah, I'm adopting a baby." And she says, "No, you will have your own baby." So she said that, and then she adopted the baby. Blah blah blah. They moved to America. 13 years later, she got naturally pregnant at like 43 years old. Wow. She was chilled out.
Yeah, yeah.
She's chilled out. And it was true. So, you know, I like that.
Messages. The cortisol stopped getting in the way.
I know. As someone who also had a similar issue, I know.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, you took a year.
I took 4 months off to get pregnant. Okay.
But that is the practice and the myth, or the belief around ghost marriages.
Ghost marriage.
I did not expect to go, like, to have so many examples in, honestly, places that are a bit far from each other, right? So it goes to show how, you know, there are fundamental beliefs that do carry across. Like, if you as a culture believe in the existence of an afterlife where people do live on and have complete full lives in a different dimension, then of course it makes sense that, like, you would want them to have your material comforts and even your, like, you know, emotional fulfillment, for example, and companionship in the afterlife. But I also sadly did not expect the
very to go awry,
tragic and macabre turn.
Yuck.
You could say we shouldn't have been surprised, but, you know, I was still,
I know,
there's a line.
I know.
Yeah, but
it goes extreme.
But yeah, I mean, let us know what you think. Have you heard of this practice before? We do have some Singaporean listeners. So, I mean, like, is there any other perspective that you want to share? Is there something, like, you have similar stories and experiences? Do you know? Have any of your relatives been
ghost
married? Have you attended the ghost marriage wedding yourself?
Oh.
Have you been to that temple?
Where do you register?
Are you a ghost matchmaker?
Ooh! Never met a ghost a matchmaker, period.
Never?
Never.
I say that as if I have. Never?
Never. No, no.
I'm sure our Chinese friends would know.
I'm sure Chinese friends would know a matchmaker. Chinese friends.
Phil Chai friends,
please let us know.
Yeah. Lastly, I know this isn't necessarily Philippine mythology or folklore, but let us know if you're interested in, like, you know, these kind of special features and deep dives into other mythologies. There are tons of amazing stories out there.
I think I'm of two minds of it, right? Like, I love diving into Chinese mythology and folklore also because, you know, I'm hugely Chinese, biologically, but, like, not culturally. But also, you know, we do deep dives also in, like, Hindu. We do deep dives in, like, Muslim folklore and stuff because they are just such big parts. I guess because Chinese Filipinos sometimes hold themselves a little bit separate from Filipinos. That we're not as privy to it. But I think biologically, it's a lot. We can't help but be affected by it because they're just, like, really everywhere.
Yeah.
My mom's entire diet is a Phil Chai diet.
And for me, kasi, parang there's always such a huge benefit in looking at other mythologies because at the end of the day, you see, it's just like a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. And a network. Like, number one, everything's interconnected. As you see when we do, like, deep dives on the etymology or the origins, like, we borrow and absorb so much of other cultures.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, like, why would two places that are so far apart and so different have some very common beliefs, right? What's consistent. And that's why we like getting into these, like, tangents.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know what you think. If there are other interesting, non-Philippine mythologies that you think we could benefit from learning from or talking about, we would love to feature that. So, Anima, where can they find us?
They can find us at thegusmustbecrazy.pod on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube a little bit, and also on Patreon. And also, they can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and please do leave us a review or a rating if you can. It always helps, you know, validate that this is a podcast that does add value or is entertaining. And the best way to help is always to share with your friends, you know, share with your Chinese Lola.
Yes.
And ask her if she's familiar with this practice.
Does she have a secret ghost husband?
No!
Anyway, my Lola did.
I know what I want. watching tonight.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Awesome.
Until next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.